The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to Packers Talk Network.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Hi, this is Jerry Kramer, and you're listening to The Sweep.
Oh, I have sizzle.
All right, here we go, fellas. Let's have a little fun today.
Welcome back, Packer Nation, to not just any old episode of The Sweep this week, but the beginning of the draft preview specials, where Blaine and I will break down two position groups and give you our locks and jocks for each position. Stay tuned, because this week it's the big boys up front and the divas on the outside. All right, what is going on, Packer Nation? Welcome. I am so excited to officially kick off the draft previews, baby. This is it. Draft season is in full-fledged. I mean, it's been in full-fledged, but now we are getting down to the nitty-gritty. I love this part of the season, Blaine. I know you're excited. I'm impressed. I feel like every time I talk to you, you sound like you're getting a little bit more on Mel Kiper's level.
I don't know if I want to be on Mel Kiper's level. He's kind of like a little crack kid these days. You see him on TV and he just can't stop. I don't know if I want to be that crazy into it. But I want to be a little bit more right, because he seems to be wrong on so many levels. And you and I had a chit chat about this yesterday. And something I kind of want to mention and remind all of our listeners that we don't consider ourselves experts. We do this because it's fun. And another thing is that the NFL is the most unknown being in the NFL. Or the draft is the most unknown being in the NFL, maybe next to injury. It's something that nobody knows what's going to happen until it happens, and nobody can really deal with it until it happens, because there's so many moving parts, so many things to take into consideration. And nobody for sure can lock down what another team is going to do before them. So everybody take that into consideration as we're talking about these guys. Our locks and jocks, the locks are guys that we think Green Bay is going to go after. They're targeting them. They want them. We think that's who they're looking at. It's considerations that Green Bay is seriously taking into consideration for drafting. And then our jocks are guys that Fred and I have seen on film, done our research, guys we like. We think that they would be good fits for Green Bay. We think they're going to be studs in the league no matter which team they play for, or at least they have the potential to be studs in the league. So I'm very excited about the beginning of it. We're doing wide receivers and offensive linemen today, and as we get closer and closer to the draft, we'll be picking them off. It's going to be good.
It's the best time of the season. You couldn't be more right. The draft is impossible to figure out. It's basically on par, and this is my pun here, with something that someone told me once about golf, and they said that the reason they love golf so much is because they can't perfect it and they can't quite get it. So it's this inner drive that you have to try to master it. And that's how it is with the draft. I love it. It's interesting. The best part about it this year is that we have a new GM, so we have even less of a chance to understand what's going to happen.
Exactly.
But it's going to be great, and I'm excited to break down kind of the offensive lineman, wide receiver. these are the positions that we've kind of come up with. We're probably not going to break down quarterbacks. I think we're all right there. Not probably going to look into running backs. I think we're okay there as well. Not saying that those still aren't possibilities. We have no idea, but I think the other positions that we're going to focus on in the upcoming weeks you're going to see are quite important. Before we get into the wide receivers and offensive linemen, let's quick shout out to our main sponsor, The Ground Round and Nina. That is where we will be watching the draft. That is where you should be watching the draft. They have 21-plus TVs, awesome, awesome bar, lounge area that we're going to be able to watch. They'll have all sorts of different games and different giveaways and cool stuff like that. So it's going to be a real good time. Make sure you guys check them out, groundroundnina.com. That is the place to be. With that, you ready to break these down?
Yeah, who do you want to start with? You want to start with offensive linemen first?
Yeah, let's start with offensive linemen. I'll start with my locks for the offensive linemen. And let me just quick say, to me, the offensive lineman is the most important position early on in this draft. And I know this is where me and Blaine differ, which is great. But I am nervous as heck about the right side of the offensive line and what we have there is depth and with future. And so to me, the offensive line thing is very important. I'm going to start with one of my locks, a guy who I have really kind of fallen in love with, just watching video, reading about him, all these sorts of things. And that is Billy Price, Ohio State center slash guard. He's played all over the line. He's your safe pick. He's the kind of guy that you get and you have for a long time. Now, this is not necessarily someone that I'm saying would be our first round pick, but he is someone that can come in, I think, and start and play and just be a J.C. Trotter like guy for us, someone you can kind of move along the offensive line where is needed. And he's just another one of the good Ohio State linemen that we have seen come out in the last few years with Taylor Decker, Pat Elfein. He's just a smart, powerful kid, 6'3", 312. I think he would be a Packer-type guy, if I had to say.
Yeah, I agree. I think he's a solid pick for you. Didn't do a whole lot of research on him, but I do have him on my short list of other linemen to keep an eye on. I went through my list and did my original research and picked my four guys and kind of focused on them. But I do know that obviously he played in the Big Ten, obviously played in a successful program. Obviously, you know, he's had that success. He knows what it's like to win games. And if you can play offensive lineman in the Big Ten or the SEC or some of these bigger conferences, especially at a school like Ohio State, when they have a really great tradition. I mean, they're not quite to Wisconsin Badgers standards as far as offensive linemen go, but they have quite a few guys playing in the NFL on Sundays. So the history is there. History is on his side to have success. What round are you thinking for him that he'll go?
I'm thinking you'd have to look at second and potentially third round, which would kind of negate my thought process on going in the first round for an offensive lineman. I think we would end up going somewhere different. But he's a guy you get in the second, third round, and he's a starter for you for the next 10
years. Yeah, and to be honest with you, Freddie, I think that's where they have to address it, just because of the glaring need. Trust me, I get it, though. The right side of the offensive line is awful. But it's not going to satisfy, not that Gutekunst cares what the fans think, but I think he does. You know, there's a public perception, especially the first year as GM. If he,
you want to go out there and you want to kill it and you want to bring in somebody that, like I had talked about in prior episodes, how Ted getting Aaron Rodgers and Wolf bringing in Brett Favre. Again, offensive lineman compared to a quarterback is a little different. But in general, I think Goot wants to come in, nail the draft, obviously, and do some free agent moves and kind of make his mark and reestablish where it's at and where this team is going forward.
Yep. I can't I can't disagree with you, and I think Billy Price is a good pick. Like I said, he's on my short list of other guys to keep an eye on after my other four. So, yeah, it's solid. But one of my locks is a kind of another guy who's been highly touted. It's been talked about a little bit. I don't usually like to do a whole lot of research on those guys because you can pretty much find anything anywhere. But it's just too good of a connection, I think, in my opinion. But Colton Miller from UCLA, he played left tackle in college. I think if he was to be successful in the NFL, he'll play right tackle. He's a big boy at 6'9", 309 pounds. He's very athletic, has very quick feet. He's long and has the ability to keep pass rushers from getting to the edge on the outside. He does have a little bit of a problem when guys dip inside and getting blitzers and stuff from the inside, from the second level. So there's a little bit of a concern there. But the thing about him that makes me – the only thing that makes me nervous about him is I don't think he would be able to come in day one and be a starter. And if you pick him in the late first or early second, is that where you want to take a guy like that? I'm not sure. But he is a big boy. He has very, very high ceiling, in my opinion. And he has that UCLA tie. I don't know what it is about guys from UCLA, but Green Bay likes him. California, really, as a whole. And I can talk about that in my next pick. So what do you think about Colton Miller?
Yeah, so Colton Miller, I love the pick. But I also have just one weird concern with it. And this is just because – he's so big. You have him listed at, I believe, 6'9".
Yep.
That's huge. And part of me loves that. Part of me is like, okay, you get him on that right side, and that's a wall. That's just – there's no one getting past it. It's a little safer. But my concern with that is it so big that that just creates injury issues? Knee problems and things like that. Can he move as quickly as we think? That's my only concern with it. Otherwise, it's the pick that makes like the most sense.
Yep.
You know, like you talked about it, just from what we've seen, what we've known, it fits. And I think it's a perfect lock. And I think that describes exactly what we're looking here when it comes with locks and jocks. This is a Packer pick. I think with Billy Price as well, you're looking at like another Packer pick. It's a Packer guy. It's the right situation, a versatile offensive lineman. These are the type of people that we look at. If you can grab a guy like Colton Miller in the second, potentially even if he would drop to the third.
Yeah, and that's what's crazy. That's what's crazy about him. And that's what kind of makes me nervous is because – there's so many guys this year, and the talent level of so many guys is so equal, and there's such a clump of guys in that late first, you know, second, early third range.
Yep.
That there's going to be a bunch that are reached. And you don't want to be that team that reaches because there's still going to be a bunch of guys in that clump of guys that's available. And like I said, I don't know that he can come in as a rookie and be a starter. It just doesn't.
I don't think he's a starter as a rookie either. I think he's still a little raw in certain aspects.
Right. But so the question asks itself is: Do you use a pick that early on a guy that effectively is a year or two away from helping you out?
If you think in a year or two that he will be to the point where he is a perennial Pro Bowler, then yeah, then I think you do it. That's the thing with. With offensive linemen that Ted was so good at, I know I try not to talk about Ted as much, but getting guys that were that 1 year, two or 1 or 2 years out, but knowing that the guy in front of him was about 1 or 2 years out as well. And I think that's kind of where it's at.
Yep.
I don't know where the Packers, where their beliefs are with Brian Bulaga. If they think we can still get a year or two out of him, and then you bring in Colton and let him learn with Bulaga, put him in a couple times here and there, then I think, yeah, that's worth a second because now you're looking at another 10-year guy to go alongside with Bakhtiari. Yep. that to me is kind of worth it. But again, yeah, I mean, if you're looking at getting him in the second, and if you can get him in the third, I think you're dumb to not go after him.
Right. Yeah, I hear you. I think it's a true Packer pick right there. I think it's somebody they're definitely looking at. And I think it's a possibility. It's just going to depend on the draft, the biggest unknown in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yep, for sure.
But my second lock at the offensive lineman is from USC. Nico, I believe is how – Nico, right?
Yeah.
Nico Fala. He is a center guard. He played center in college. I think he'll be a guard in the NFL and some spot center stuff in emergency situations, which you'll see a lot of the guys I think that you and I both are going to talk about have that versatility to be able to move around on the offensive line.
A lot of guys this year with that.
I think that's huge. I mean, I think that makes guys that much more valuable to your team. It gives the coaching staff and the GMs a possibility to keep one less offensive lineman and another skill position player. You don't need as many guys. If you got a guy that's going to sit on the bench most of the time anyways, he might as well be your backup at two spots instead of one.
For sure.
And I think that's huge. It can be a big deal as far as guys' draft status, in my opinion. Other things about him, he's a two-year starter from USC. Like I said, it's a big school. They don't take in kids that they don't think are going to be good. It's just their tradition. They're traditionally a power on the West Coast. When I watch his film, he's not really a guy that jumps out on you. I mean, I know offensive linemen probably don't unless you're looking at him anyways. But he doesn't really have anything crazy that jumps out at you. He's just solid. And I think that he's – in my opinion, he's a late round pick. If he's even a draft pick, he might be an undrafted free agent. And I think that would be a steal. If you can get him in the 6th, 7th or undrafted, makes sense. I think he's good enough to come in. He's a diamond in the rough kind of guy. Could be a guy that is a Green Bay Packer for a long time. And I think Green Bay likes him because they went to the USC Pro Day and had a visit with him there. And they also brought him in for a meeting in Green Bay. So he's obviously on their radar. And it's one of those guys I think that you have waiting in the wings, you know, for a couple of years, and then boom, all of a sudden we let whoever go and he steps up and all of a sudden he gets a contract for big money 5 or 6 years from now.
I think personally, this is my favorite of all of your picks. I love this pick. It's spot on. It's exactly what the Packers would do. It's exactly who the Packers would go after. Great kid, came up through adversity, started as was a fourth stringer, moved his way up. Love the versatility that he brings. You said nothing really jumps out when you watch film. To me, that's exactly what you want with an offensive lineman, because if something does jump out, it's either yellow flags or shitty technique. And by shitty technique, I mean sometimes getting pancakes isn't always because you're doing the right technique and doing the right thing. He's just good and just solid good and a guy that you have on your roster for a very long time. I love it.
Well, what's crazy is he's not getting any serious play.
Right. And I think, yeah, I think the thing with that, and this is my thought process, when it comes to the draft is it's not always best to get a lot of play when it comes to the draft. I think a lot of times it's usually fabricated or, kind of built up just to kind of throw people certain directions. I don't know. I think sometimes it's better to not. There's some circumstances it's better, but I don't know.
You haven't getting drafted, or do you think it's a possibility they snag him off the free agent list?
I think if he ends up at the free agent list, someone's going to be lucky to have him. I don't know if he gets there.
I think he gets drafted in the 7th round.
I think he's a late 6th, early 7th, or I guess any of the 7th really. But I would be surprised if he didn't get drafted. But if he didn't, then, I mean, hopefully that meeting went well enough to where he would want to sign with us. It's interesting that you went California, though, for both of your guys.
Well, I just – it's maybe it's the Ted
Thompson-like.
Maybe it's the Ted in me. I hate to admit it, but there is some in me because, you know, you don't watch a guy for that long and love the team that he's the GM of and not have a little bit of it rub off on you.
Yeah,
I fight it every day. It's something that I fight, but it's there.
And it's funny. It's funny. I was. That's the first thing I noticed when I saw your list was, man, that's very Tedly of you. Again, though, we have no idea. I mean, the Goot might hate the West Coast.
Yeah, that's one of the more fun parts about especially this year's draft.
Yeah,
it's our first glimpse of what kind of guy is Goot. What's he like? What's his draft strategy going to be? And really, even after one draft, you can't really pattern anything because it's only one draft. It's going to take 3-4 years of this to try to figure the guy out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this one's going to be the most extreme of anything. All right, my other lock is a big old sweet and sexy tackle from the University of Notre Dame. Mike McGlinchey. I don't know what else to really say, except this would be the guy that you could go for in the first.
I don't mean to cut you off, but he's the guy that they pick at 14 if everybody else that we've ever discussed about at 14 is not there and they don't have anybody to trade with. I think that's the only way he gets picked.
I think, before I was so rudely interrupted.
Sorry.
No, I'm just kidding. Is that if you do go Mike McGlinchey, it's not at 14. It's down a little bit off of a trade. Because I wouldn't hate it at 14 because I think he's that good. But I think to justify it, you almost have to go for him at like 20 or 22 and 23 of the Bills type thing. But every single little fiber in my being says that that's the guy that would just be perfect in our situation. A guy that would be opposite Bakhtiari for the next 10 years, a guy who comes in and starts immediately, a smart lunch pail kind of guy, tough, big, just perfect in that aspect. Now, I don't know if they go that direction, but that is probably the only guy outside of Quentin Nelson, again from Notre Dame, that I am going to be okay with them drafting for an offensive lineman in the first round, which is something I think they should do, but I don't know. The value is not super exciting to me for the pick number. So it would have to be something where we traded down a little bit, because I don't think there's anyone in that 14 range, offensive lineman wise, that I'm like, yep, that's it. Unless everyone does get taken before us that we want,
right?
Then I think go for him at 14.
If Minka and James and Ward and Harold Landry and
the whole gang of
those guys are all gone.
Yeah,
and Green Bay cannot trade back to get another pick in the first 64 picks. Because nobody wants to trade with them, go ahead, pick them. But on top of that, if that happens, I mean, that's a perfect storm type of situation. And the fact that we know what would have to happen tells me that it won't. But if it does, I'll be extremely disappointed and very underwhelmed with that pick. And not because it's not only because it's not a sexy pick and it's not a wow me pick, because you're right, it could potentially could anchor the bookends on our offensive line for, you know, the next 6-7 years easily. And that's huge.
It's huge. But I don't think people understand how big that is.
It's huge. And I totally get it. And I don't think it's the worst plan in the world. I mean, it can't get. The worst plan in the world was Justin Harrell. But anyways, it is what it is. It would be a perfect storm for it to happen. I don't think it will, so I'm not going to stress about it too much.
I don't know. I think that – I don't know. I love him. That's all I'm going to say. I love him, and if we took him at 14, I wouldn't be mad because I think you would get a perennial starter for 14, at 14 for the rest of his career.
Don't twist it. I didn't say I would be mad. I said I would be disappointed and underwhelmed.
Well, if
mad is a whole nother, you know, they can pick whoever, Goot can pick anybody, and I'm going to support it because that's just, I mean, I'll probably critique it, but I'll never be mad at any pick. There's a difference there
because I got you.
He's going to be whoever they pick is going to be a Packer, and I'm going to like him.
Well, that's the right attitude, sir.
Until they give me a reason to hate him.
Yeah.
Ted Thompson. if you're at 1265, I'm going to like you.
All right. God, just give Ted some damn credit. All right, jocks. I got my first jock is I've really stuck with some heavy hitting, like Big Ten type teams here. But I know Notre Dame's not a Big Ten team, but I've always kind of.
They might as well be.
Yeah. Thank you. My number one jock, Mason Cole, Michigan, center/guard. I don't know if it's the total Ted rubbing off on me, but I love those versatile offensive linemen who can play 2-3 positions. 6'4", 303, a nasty dude. He's old school. He's tough. Played center as a junior. Super successful. Played a little bit of left tackle too, but eventually, you know, is – probably more projected as an inside guy just because of his size. But he's just tough. Not really. Now this is where the jock part of it comes in, folks. Not really your Packer type guy in the sense that he is a little rough around the edges type of guy. And that this is a comparison and not complete, but has that like Richie Incognito toughness to him. Not crazy, but just that kind of old school toughness to him. And I love that. I think that I'd like a little bit more of that on our team, but yeah, I don't know if that's really the Packer way and if that's how Goot feels. But to me, this is a guy that you could get to kind of come in and again, similar to a Billy Price, I don't think as good as Billy Price, but a guy that you could have come in and be a versatile, get kind of a JC Treader type guy.
Yeah, I pretty much have my notes on him are pretty much the same as what you just said. And I take him. He is very similar to one of the guys I have lined up as a jock, so I'll just go into him right away unless you have more.
Nope, go for it.
Braden Smith from Auburn, he's a guard. I have him projected in the late third round. Maybe he'll fall out of the third round, but he's a big boy. He's 6'6", 305 pounds. He's very, very strong. He plays very, very strong. He's one of the guys that, you know, he can go in the weight room and impress you throwing up all the steel and all that. And when he goes on the field, you can tell that he can do that in the weight room. There are guys out there that can go in the weight room and throw that shit around, and they get out on the field and they just play weak. This guy's not one of them. He's a very, very strong man, and he plays with that attitude. That same type of attitude that you were just talking about. He's a mauler, and he's got a nasty streak to him. I think he could bring some attitude to that offensive line. I think the offensive line that's in Green Bay right now has a little bit of a pretty boy attitude, or at least on the surface they do. I think Bakhtiari kind of personifies that. And I know Bakhtiari can be an asshole too, but he doesn't show it. I think Braden Smith would bring that attitude to the offensive line. He's an All-American. And he played in one of the toughest conferences in the league, especially in the trenches. The SEC is no joke. He played teams like Alabama and Georgia and some of the big boys in college. Those defensive lines are no joke. So he knows what it's like to play tough competition. I think that for value, he's probably a sleeper in the third round. And if you can get a guy like that in the third round, it would be huge.
Yeah, can't really say much about it. I agree. Tough dude. Big dude. 6'6", though, at guard kind of gives me a weird feeling, but I love his toughness. I think that I didn't want to say it because I don't want to have to deal with that, but I do want a little bit more toughness on the offensive line. There is that pretty boy attitude to it, and maybe that's just the long hair and the California and everybody, but yeah, I'd love to have some badass dude, you know, taped up fingernails, headbutting people.
Yeah, and I think that's what the offense needs it.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
the defense too a little bit. I mean, there's a lack of leadership and there's a lack of attitude on this team, and I think there's a way to combine them both in a good way.
Right. I mean, the guy on the offense with the biggest attitude is your quarterback.
Yeah,
that's probably not good.
No, it's not.
Because he's not going down into the trenches of punching anybody in the mouth.
And I think we're both referring to Lang and Sitton and their bash brothery attitude. You know, Lang would be the first one there to throat check somebody that pushed Aaron. And I think we don't have that yet. And maybe that's just the guys being young enough or younger and not feeling like they've got that. I don't know what it is, but yeah, I need it. I need a little bit more, chaos, if you will, on the inside of the offensive line too. So I like that pick. My other jock is Brian O'Neill, a tackle out of Pittsburgh, 6'5", 305. Probably, you know, he's a conundrum too. He's kind of a little bit of a combine guy in a sense. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably his talent level is the fourth, fifth, maybe even sixth round. But I think his combine stuff kind of helped moved him up there. Extremely athletic, really good arm length. Was a tight end in high school, put on a bunch of weight. So he moves incredibly well. Not a ton of years on the offensive line. Obviously, as I said, he was tight end. So he's still kind of new. I think there's still some raw stuff there. But he's got experience both left and right side. I think he's your definite project guy. That's why I think he's a little bit later round than what they're projecting him at. A certain projection, I shouldn't say what they are, because there's many different projections. But for me, I think if you get him, you know, in the fifth, I don't know if he goes six. I think that's one of your classic Packer steals of a guy that has a little bit of work to do. And considering who we have and how we've been able to do it, he would just fit the mold and really kind of potentially be a guy that we keep around for a long time as a backup. Maybe even a starter. Maybe he can branch into that. I think from watching his tape, he's strong enough and he moves well and he makes the right adjustments, but he's just a little raw on certain techniques and gets beat a little bit off the speed rush. So I think that just things that he'd have to work on, I think, but he has the potential to definitely build into something nice.
Yeah, I think you hit it the nail right on the head there, is that he's shown the ability, but he's very inconsistent with his play.
For sure.
He hasn't done it consistently, you know, throughout. I think he's had games where he's been consistent, but throughout seasons he's had games where he's just been awful. Yeah. And then the next week he'll bounce back and have a great game. I think that he'll be gone before Green Bay would consider this pick, at least I hope. I think there's a lot of other scouts and people talking about him enough, just based off of what you said, the combine. He's a little bit of a workout warrior at the position because of his history of being a tight end and his athleticism. I think that people are going to reach a little bit on him, so I think he'll be gone. But if he does fall, I think it's a viable option for all the reasons you said and more. It wouldn't be a bad idea. I think he reminds me kind of like a Lucas Patrick type guy.
Yeah.
A guy that's going to be there for a long time, never really good enough to crack the starting lineup consistently, but if you need him here and there, you know, he's good enough. But we'll see. You know, sometimes those guys just are late bloomers and they get to the NFL with the right team or the right coach or the right guys around him, and they figure it out. So he's one that, you know, that would be fun to keep an eye on just because he's a little bit of a project, I think. So my other jock, though, I know that you told me that you liked this guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's from Iowa, and I consider Iowa O-line U right after the Badgers.
Yep.
And it maybe it's starting to be more of a Big Ten thing, you know, the big boys up in the Midwest. They're just figuring it out. But Sean Welsh from Iowa, he's a guard center. I think he could do both at the NFL level. It is what it is. I think center would probably be primary for him, in my opinion. Others think otherwise. The reason I say that is because he can't be asked to do a lot of pulling. He's not very good on the edge. He's an interior guy, and he gets to the second level very well. But on the outside, you know, pulling from the guard or center position, that's not really going to be his strong suit. One of the reasons why I'm high on him is because he may be the most underrated pass blocker in the draft. He might be the best pass blocker just solely based off of, you know, taking a step back and keep staying in front of the defender and giving the quarterback some time. He might be the best guy at it. I have him in the fourth, maybe the late third, but probably the middle of the fourth is where I have him projected, and I think he would be a steal. And he's just another one of those good old boys from Iowa, and it makes sense for me for the Packers to be looking at him, and I love him.
I think he's a perfect fit as well. We've got a few of them on here. I think, though, he is a guy that you have listed as a jock, but I would almost put him as a lock just because I think I would be shocked if we had a shot at him in the fourth and didn't go after him, or even especially the fifth.
That's what's crazy about a lot of these guys, Fred, is their value stretches such a long range.
Yeah,
depending on how you evaluate them.
That's the thing with the draft. Everyone's got such different values on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can look at it, Sean Welsh and where he is on the big board on all 32 different teams, and chances are you're going to have him all over the place.
Right. Well, and the more I watch him, the more I keep thinking to myself, well, he could sneak up into the late third round.
For sure.
And maybe it's me just paying too much attention and falling in love with a guy, because that's what happens when we kind of, you know, narrow in on a couple of guys. And that's why I put him in my jocks, because the more and more I watched him, the more and more I loved him. And the more I wanted Green Bay to go after him. And you know how that can happen. I mean, it's not hard to do when you
– For sure.
And it's weird because offensive linemen have never really been a big deal for me. Like, I know how important they are, and I understand, but they're not fun to watch. They're not fun to do the research on. They're not sexy.
No.
You know, it's not the most fun position to break down, but it's becoming more and more enjoyable when you see guys like this who look like they're having fun on the field, and they like to do this stuff, and they like to knock somebody on their ass. And when you call a guy – basically the best pass blocker in the draft off the guys I've looked at. And I've looked at, you know, some of the top guys. I mean, I have, you know, first round project top 15 guys that are going to go on the top 15 off the offensive line. I think he's better specifically at pass blocking. Now take it for what it's worth, but he's a very, very solid pick in the fourth round. And if he does get to the fifth and he's there when Green Bay picks in the fifth and they haven't taken a bunch of other offensive linemen, I'll be upset if he's not the guy.
Well, and you said it even with the value situation, you think he's the best pass blocker in the draft. If someone else thinks that, they'll go after him in the third.
Yep.
And you might look in your books or hear Mel Kiper say it or, oh, he wasn't a fifth round. To who? That's my argument all the time to people. Well, he's not projected till the fifth. To who? Who's the guy that's saying that this guy is supposed to be a fifth round pick? Mel Kiper? Listen to Mel Kiper, folks. I mean, come on, Mel. I mean, Mel Kiper is like a glorified weather forecaster. I mean, he's not ever going to be right. When he is right once in a while, we act like, oh wow, that was really good. it's impossible. And I'm not really bashing him, because he would be the first one to probably tell you that he's never right, or rarely right. But that's the thing. I mean, if Sean Welch is the best pass blocker, and I firmly believe that, and I'm running the GM or the scouting of a team, then I'm going to put him on the big board in the second round or the first round if I truly believe that. Now, you're obviously not going to take him in the first round, because I think that would be, you know, an extreme reach in that regard of being able to get value. But he is what he is to you because of what you think and what you've seen on tape.
Right.
And that's the thing.
Here's the thing. When we're talking about, I think you're talking about, if I have him, I'm very, very comfortable with him in the mid fourth round.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm saying is, because of the things that I've seen in the things that I value in an offensive lineman, I could see a team in the late third or early fourth reaching. And I'm only talking, you're only talking, you know, 15, 20 picks earlier than what I have them valued at. So it's, you know, it's not, yeah, it would be considered a reach, but it's not crazy, especially in a third or fourth round, because those, the talent level and the clumps of talent, you know, it starts to spread out a little bit. And that's where I think that starts to spread out is in the second half of the third and fourth and fifth rounds. There's guys that have similar value, but the talent level starts to spread out a little bit. Does that make sense?
I hear you. All right, let's get on to wide receivers. But before we do that, let's say hey to the people over at the Ground Round.
Hey, Packer fans. It's Ryan Batley from the Ground Round and Nina. What an offseason it has been. I don't know if anyone saw all these changes coming, but I sure didn't. Either way, it's an exciting time to be a Packers fan. Speaking of exciting, we have a lot going on at the restaurant as well. A brand new breakfast menu, an updated dinner menu, and monthly specials and events to keep you coming back. Don't forget, Ground Round is the place to be for Wisconsin sports. We have 21 TVs in the sports lounge, giving you a perfect view from any seat in the house. We also have happy hour 7 days and 7 nights of the week from 3 to 6 and 9 to midnight, including our free taco nacho bar Monday through Friday. Ground Round can still be part of your day even without coming into the restaurant. We deliver our full menu 7 days a week with everything from soup to salad, wings to burgers, and seafood to steaks. You can order online at groundroundnina.com or by calling us at 725-1010. Thanks for listening, and now back to the suite.
All right, thanks, Batley. Make sure you guys check them out, groundroundnina.com. Make sure you guys are there for the draft. And if you're in the Fox Valley, just go there. Trust me, it's worth it. That wrapped up our offensive line. I love some of the picks. I love the guys that you have. I love the Sean Welch pick. I think we've got some pretty good some good options there. I think it's funny how we've gone to a point where everybody we're looking at is either a guard or a center, as opposed to back in the day where it was so separate. It was either a guard, it was either a tackle or a center. There's just so much versatility on the line now. It's awesome. But let's move on. Let's go to the divas of divas, the wide receivers. I mean, who else? I mean, that's what they do. They're divas. I love them though. They're the fun ones. These are the sexy ones. You talked about kind of starting to enjoy scouting offensive linemen. All I kept thinking about when you were talking about that is watching film and how different it is to watch an offensive lineman's film or highlights, if you will, and then a receiver's. A little bit more fun to watch receivers. A little bit more exciting. That's who they are. That's what they are. But who do you got? Start us off with your locks.
My first lock is a guy I think a lot of people have heard about. A lot of people have probably considered it. A lot of people probably have a lot of the same feelings that I do. Michael Gallup out of Colorado State. I have him in the second round. I don't know how, but I did mark on here that maybe he falls into the early third. I don't know that it'll happen. I don't think it will. But who knows? It would be nice if it did and he fell into our lap. He's not a straight line burner type guy or deep ball threat. I don't see him being the replacement for young Jordy Nelson up the sideline and doing those back shoulders 20 yards down the field. But he still has, you know, he creates separation with his route running ability, and he gets off the line very well. So he might not have that straight line speed, but he can beat people off the line and create a separation that way. He does have enough to catch the occasional deep ball if he catches the defense off guard in man-to-man coverage and gets off the line. Has a very good sense to fill the zones open zones and get open. And he's very dangerous after he catches the ball. I think that's the thing that stood out to me the most. I think that in Joe Philbin's offense, I think that's a key. And I think that's one of the reasons why Green Bay will be targeting him. It's just one of the guys, he's a smaller school guy. And maybe he's the guy that gets Randall Cobb's contract off the books next year.
Yeah. He's a Packer. He's the Packer receiver. I mean, he's just that's it. He is my absolute baby, if you will, in this draft. He's been my baby all season. It's the guy I've watched. I love. I'm a little jealous, I think. I don't know if jealous is the right word, but that he's getting so much attention just because you kind of want him to be under the radar a little bit and kind of sneak him up there. Just you grow such an attachment to some of these guys. It's ridiculous. But you're right. Great in the zones. Great after the catch. I mean, that's Packer receiver. I don't need necessarily somebody who can run a straight line speed. That was Jeff Janis, and that worked out fantastic for us.
Yeah, if you can't run a route, you're not going to play for Aaron Rodgers because he expects
you. Green Bay Packers are route running and timing.
Yes,
and if you're not good at those, toodaloo. I love him. Like I said, Gallup is my man. 6'1", 200. Just a full fledged receiver. In my book, first season, 1,200 yards, 14 touchdowns as a senior, 100 receptions, 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, semifinalist for the Fred Biletnikoff Award. I think, and we kind of talked a little bit about this, I think he's going to end up going in the first. And I think it's going to be just because I think it's going to be a team gets nervous and just takes him in the first. And I think it would be a little bit of a stretch. But I also, in the same breath, my value on him is so high that I could justify it if it happened. I would never say that the Packers are going to, especially not at 14. If they were to trade back and say they got the Bills and it was 22nd and 23rd pick, I could justify it happening as a 23rd pick.
Didn't the Bills already trade that away?
Did they already?
Am I
missing it? Oh yeah, damn it. Well, how about the Patriots?
I think the Patriots are the only ones left with two picks.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Fred, the 31st pick is the same value to me, and I think I posted it on Twitter the other day, the value chart of the point system for how teams kind of look at how many draft picks and what a draft pick is worth in points and how many it would take to trade up to be into the first and blah, blah, blah. Well, the 31st and the 35th are very, very similar. You're talking, you can call the 31st a first round pick and the 32nd a first round pick because of it's technically in the first 32, but realistically it's an early second.
Yeah.
Or a late first and an early second are virtually the same value. That's where I see Green Bay. If they do make a trade back, I don't think they'll get another first. I think they'll end up around 20, between 20 and 25, and then get an early second. Or even a mid-second, and maybe another third or fourth next year. You know, they might throw in another third pick to move up. It's all going to depend on what the team is trading up for and how big of a need they have for whatever they want to pick. And that's where I see a Michael Gallup ending up in Green Bay, is if they trade back and they get another pick in the first half of the second round, that's where I think he will go. And I'm not as in love with them as you are. I like them. And it, you're on Gallup like I'm on Welsh.
Well, there you go.
He, you know, that's your guy. That's the guy that you focused on because you watched a couple of films, saw something you liked, and now you're stuck on him. And I don't want to say you're stuck on him, but you like him. I don't blame you. There's a lot to like there.
I mean, I'm pretty stuck on him.
Is he one of your locks? Is he one of your docs?
He is one of my locks because he's a lock jock to me, if that makes sense, I guess. Like I said, I've been watching him all season. He's the guy I looked at going into the season. He did not disappoint. And, I mean, I would be ecstatic if we got him. And I know people may maybe question it, but I think he would be the perfect fit. And I think he would fit perfectly within the Green Bay Packers organization and with those receivers. And I'm telling you, with Gallup, Cobb, Adams, Jimmy Graham, I think he's the kind of guy that – I think if you get Gallup, I think he's a guy that comes in and starts day one. So I love him. I'll go with another one of my locks. Obviously, Gallup was the other one, so we kind of nailed that down with the first guy. I think that's the only guy that we have is the same. I'm going to go with a little bit of a guy that started off the season, having high hopes and things like that. That's Simi Cobbs from Indiana. Again, kind of a Big Ten guy, so there's a little bit more focus on my part with him. But a big guy, 6'3", 220. He was a sophomore season in 2005. He killed it. Everyone was real excited about his junior year. He comes, gets hurt, and then came back in 2007. Another big year off of his injury, almost 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns. And I think the most notable thing about him and his performance last year was that he killed it against Ohio State. And Ohio State's great defense with those good corners and all, you know, we're putting such high emphasis on their corners, and yet Simi Cobbs burned him. 149 yards, touchdown, 11 receptions. That's a big game for a receiver, and especially one against a team with those types of corners. I like him. I think that Green Bay is looking towards a big receiver like that. I think Jimmy Graham is kind of where they're at right now, just because he does line up in the slot a lot. But Simi Cobbs, I think, would be a real nice fit in Green Bay. And he's another one that I struggle with where he can end or where he can go, what round he can go in. I think you can see him anywhere from potentially even the second going all the way to the fourth or fifth. Just because of injuries and things like that. I think
a lot of these guys that we're talking about at wide receiver, where they get picked is going to depend on who or when a team pulls the trigger on that first wide receiver,
Because I don't think in a full concept, I don't think that the receiving class is very good.
It's not. And that's why when that second clump of guys that, you know, a lot of the guys that we're talking about right now, when that second tier of guys, which I think is fairly large for being a second tier.
Second tier is bigger than the first tier for sure.
Right. And I think once that tier starts to get picked, when that first guy in the early second round gets picked, if that starts the domino effect, they're going to fly quick.
Yep.
And it's all going to depend. People are
going to start reaching and grabbing anyone they can get. And that's where.
Well, Gallup might be the guy that starts it.
Very well could be.
I mean, if he gets picked in the late first or right away early in the second, that's when those guys are going to start flying off.
Yeah.
And you might get a couple of guys in the early third that's still a value there. But if Gallup doesn't get picked until the late second, then everything dominoes back. And that's when you can get a guy like Simi Cobbs a little bit later. So it's just the unknown stuff of, if one guy is valued higher, then so does everybody else's value goes up as well.
Yeah. It's always a crazy domino effect. And I think that is my point always with this. And and, you know, not being so harsh on some people too when they make their projections, but it can all get thrown out the window. I mean, you can walk in with 364 days of research and have everything kind of mapped out, and one team, one guy can go after one guy, and it can completely flip the entire script. Last year we saw it with Trubisky. That was a crazy move. You know, the Raiders used to do it all the time and go after someone that wasn't projected till the late first, early second, and they were a top pick. And it just, you never know. It takes one move and the entire thought process gets completely thrown out the window. So yeah, I like Simi Cobbs. I know he's kind of a bigger name, I guess, if you will, amongst the receivers, definitely in the forefront of that second tier. But a guy that I think there is a concern somewhere here with wide receiver. I don't know if we're really needing to spend a second or a first on it, unless it's a high, you know, unless it's like a Gallup, which I'd be okay with.
Well, and I think that the wide receiver, and really even I think if they trade back and they get another pick in the first 64, that's where the conversation of offensive lineman and wide receiver really starts to happen.
Yeah. All right, who you got for a lock? Your other lock?
My second lock is James Washington out of Oklahoma State. I think early on he had a lot of hype. Since it's kind of quieted down and fallen back a little bit. He's very fast. He doesn't have a very good first step speed, I'll call it. So getting off the line, he's not very fast. But once he is, you know, 2-3 yards off the line of scrimmage, he can move. His top end speed is undeniable. He's a big play, deep threat guy. I think this is the type of guy that if he works on a little bit of his route running, he can turn into a guy like what Jordy was for us. He's probably not going to be I don't know how to explain it. He's probably not going to be the guy that comes in next year and is just lighting it up as a rookie. Going to have to be that guy that takes a year and kind of gets comfortable with Rodgers and learns the system. But, you know, it could make a couple of splash plays throughout the season for you if you needed him to. I had him probably later than most, but that's where I would be comfortable with them picking him, is in the late third, early fourth. I know you think he'll go earlier, I think you said.
Yeah, I think he's one of those that will definitely be a second-round guy. But I would only be okay with him in the third or fourth, personally, as well.
Right.
I'm not super sold on him. But I think he'll end up getting reached on and probably taken in the second once that first receiver goes, because he is one of the first in the second tier type guys.
Yeah, I feel like this is the type of guy. He's at a bigger school, so it doesn't really fit the bill completely. But he reminds me of like a Greg Jennings.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit bigger, like strength wise and stuff. But just watching some film on him, it just a very striking resemblance of what Greg Jennings was for us. And I like that. It is what it is, and I hope that, like I said, that run on wide receivers, if it goes later, he's going to be a guy the Packers are looking at.
I hear you. Like I said, I'm not super sold on him. I guess where we differ a little bit in this draft for receivers is, I guess we're kind of on the same point. But I'm going to go with one of my jocks here, and this is what I was trying to get at, is that there's some pretty interesting size with the receivers in this year's draft. Some real tall guys. And this is a guy that I have as a jock. He's an interesting one because he is kind of put all over on the boards. And I'm not really sure where most people, I mean, there's all different sorts of projections for him, but I have him in the third, fourth round. He could again get thrown in that lump of the second round if it gets crazy. But Equanimous St. Brown from Notre Dame. Again, I have way too many Notre Dame guys on here. But he's someone that I've been kind of keeping an eye on for a while as well. My only main concern with him is he's a little thin for his height. I mean, 6'5", 215, 220, pretty small in that degree. But here's my thing. I'm very intrigued with him just because.
Was Randy Moss even 220 or 215?
Yeah, I don't know. He's pretty very good, similar frame to Randy Moss. There you go. Thank you. Can't argue that. I love him, and I think he could drop because of the production that he had, but I don't think it's his fault. That's the thing. And I think during his final season, he had some injuries, forced him to miss a few games, still ended up with 500 yards, 4 touchdowns. But this is while an entire senior season of being double teamed and playing with a very mediocre quarterback. So he kind of produced with nothing. And I like when I see that out of players, because it's easy to have, you know, a guy that's a top tier quarterback throwing it, making you look really good. James Washington had Mason Rudolph, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doubting James Washington, but it's a little bit of a different situation, whereas Equanimous Brown didn't. In 2016, when he had Kaiser, right? I think he had Kaiser 16, or was it 15? Yeah, Kaiser.
16, yep.
He was 58 receptions, 1,000 yards, 9 touchdowns. I mean, so that's Kaiser. Good route running, strong hands, can really break it off a little bit. Now you put Randy Moss in there, and I'm going to have to, like, you can't compare anyone to Randy Moss. Because to me, and I'm probably going to get some flack for this, I mean, in my opinion, Randy Moss is very much on the coattails of Jerry Rice as the greatest receiver of all time. I can't quite say he is, because Jerry Rice is still Jerry Rice. But to me, Randy Moss was...
Well, there's Jerry Rice, and then there's everybody else. And yeah. Randy Moss is at, or at least very, very near the top of that everybody else list.
All right, well, if we're going to go tiers, and it's Jerry Rice and then everybody else, and to me, Randy Moss is number one.
Yeah, that's arguable. I'll give you that.
So I love this guy. I know that Dustin Pfeil put on the Sweeps post, which you guys check us out on Facebook. Go up to the search button, type in the Sweep, or you can check us out at Twitter at the Sweep _PTTF. Failed you guys. I did not let you know about that till now. He's high on Equanimous. I just think that teams will be hesitant because of lack of production, potentially even size. But I would love to have someone like him on our team. Real tall, 6'5", possible red zone guy, just a mismatch type guy. And I think someone that Rodgers could throw it up to and he could go up and grab. And I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that. I mean, it's you're hitting everything right on the head as far as what he is. I agree with it. I don't know that you and I agree or have the same feeling of what the Packers need at wide receiver at the moment. But that's okay. I mean, we can have a difference of opinion.
What do you think they need at wide receiver?
Well, I just think that they have their red zone guy. They just signed him to, what, a 2-year deal?
Yeah.
They're not going to go draft another red zone guy.
Yeah, but here's my lame argument to that is that we had our red zone guy last year, Marty Bennett, though, too. And we don't know, with Jimmy Graham being 31, I agree, he is our designated red zone guy right now. But there's injury possibilities. There's a lot of things that could still happen. I don't see why you don't go after a guy like Equanimous, 6'5", and have him for the next 4 years at least and kind of build him into something, just because I don't know how reliable Jimmy Graham is going to be, and that's my biggest fear with him.
I can take that criticism. I mean, that's
fair.
That's fair. And like I said, the fact that we disagree on that is okay. I'm more in the market for a wide receiver to replace Cobb and get his contract off the books. It's not a secret that we're going to have cap problems in the next few years. We, you know, it kind of started this year. We couldn't do the things necessarily that we needed to or wanted to do. And
I think though, but with Cobb, you're gonna get that taken care of. You're gonna get the Rodgers thing taken care of. You just, are you saying that you want Roger or you want Cobb off the books, or you want Cobb rewritten in the books?
I want Cobb off the books. I think it's time to move on. After the 2018-2019 season, I don't want him to be a Green Bay Packer, and I don't think he will be.
Okay.
I'm thinking that this is the year to get his replacement. And another guy, I'll go on to my jocks, and a perfect guy for this scenario. I don't know that you like him that much, but I don't care because I love him. I think he's probably the most fun for me to watch on film.
Yeah.
As far as a skill position player that I've kind of looked into, he's very, very fun to watch. He's very, very fast. He played in an offense that was kind of tailored to his style of play, but that doesn't matter to me. It was fun. I'm talking Kiki Kuti from Texas Tech. I'm pretty sure I'm saying his name right. I'd never really heard his name said by anybody, but that's how I read it. I think that, you know, some people project him as a lower pick because of his size and maybe worried about some of his versatility as far as injuries go, just because he is a little bit smaller. But he is so fast, and he is such a speed demon and can impact the game in so many ways, not just lining up in the slot or on the outside being a burner. He can kick return, punt return, reverses, all that kind of stuff. He's just kind of a game changer that if a defense loses track of where he is on the field, he's going to burn you because he has that type of playmaking ability. He's also very, very good at running routes. He extends plays when the quarterback's in trouble, which would be a perfect fit for a guy like Aaron Rodgers because that's what he does. He comes back to the ball very well. He's very good with his hands. He always gives the quarterback a clear target of having his hands ready. There's just nothing I saw on film that I didn't like. And I can't wait to hear you tell me that he's going to be gone in the early second, because that would be like the sixth wide receiver you're telling me that's going to go in the early second. And I don't think that's going to happen.
You wait, dude. It's a passing league. Teams want receivers. And they don't – this is the thing. This is why I think that there will be a lot of receivers taken early, is because, one, it's passing league. Two, teams want receivers. And three, probably three, which is probably the number one reason, teams don't want to pay receivers. Because if you have good receivers, you have to pay them a boatload of money now. And so I think teams just, would rather you're just not.
You're just confirming the fact that we need to get rid of Randall Cobb and pay a rookie. Thank you.
I'm not saying that Cobb shouldn't go. I think we at least ride him out this season and then consider it. But I think if you're going to be smart, if you're going to approach it the right way, yeah, then I think you go after rookies and you try to nail on him because it's a little bit of an easier route. Here's my thing with Kiki is, and this is hard because I feel like I'm contradicting myself to a degree, because he is kind of that ultimate scat back type kind of guy. You can kind of throw him anywhere. I just get so nervous for two reasons. One, Texas Tech, just because of the crazy system they run. And two, I've spent probably 27 years of my life watching the draft, and I've always been a guy who looked at the 40 time first. And I've realized over all these years that the 40 don't mean shit. And
but when you watch his film, the speed correlates to the field.
For sure. But so did John Ross's. Where's he? What's he doing? I mean, this is what I see with Kiki, is he's basically a John Ross, which...
But he's not, because when you look at, and I'm not going to lie, I can't tell you about John Ross's film because it's been, a year since I probably even thought about it.
Yeah.
But there's other things in Kiki's game that stand out, and they're noticeable. It's not just the fact that he's fast. He can run routes. He's Jeff Janis plus 100. He's got the speed of Jeff Janis, but knows how to run every other route. He comes back to the ball. He's very good at seeing the field and knowing what how the defenses are covering him, and he's able to beat it. He is a quarterback's best friend on a scramble drill. Those are the other things. It's not just speed. Yeah, you talk about the 40 time. That's well and great, but that's not what I'm talking about. That's just a bonus.
Yeah, if you can get – if you can get someone who is quick, games fast, but also is able to do what you just said, read defenses, come back, make himself open in scramble drills, that's exactly what we need.
Right. And I think
I just feel like a lot of guys that I've seen throughout the years who are these little speed demon dudes, these little gimmick type guys, don't have that. They are strictly gimmick guys, and that's where I think John Ross has always been. And I think unless Cincinnati basically alters their offense to work around John Ross, he's never going to be anything, because that's what – I mean, Washington basically gave John Ross the keys and said the entire offense is going to get ran through you, much like New York Giants do for Odell. And I think they struggle otherwise. If you think that Kiki is the gimmick guy plus one, then I would be on.
I do. The only thing that concerns me is this could be going away now with some of the new rules that are coming, but a lot of times guys his size don't last because they can't take the beating. The
beatings, yeah.
But
you can't beat anyone in the NFL anymore.
Right, and that's one of the things. That's why these type of players, to me, are going to become the new NFL. You're not going to need guys like who's the guy in Atlanta? Why am I not? What's his name? Wide receiver, Atlanta.
Julio Jones?
Julio Jones. You don't necessarily need that.
I'd take it.
I would take it. And I'm not saying they're bad. I'm not going to be in the NFL.
The era of the big 6'4", 240 receivers. Like,
right. I think guys like Devontae are big enough.
That's the prototype, and I think that's where, going back to Gallup, I think that's why Gallup is perfect. I think he's right in that same size region.
Yep.
But I'm going to move on to my jock, and I'm only going to move on to him because this is going to segue from what you were just saying. And again, it's also going to kind of contradict what I was saying. But you mentioned the new NFL and where you think the wide receiver position is going. I could not agree with you more. I know that I have a couple big guys on here. I think it would be nice to have a variety of wide receivers, having some big guys, having a guy like Devonta Adams, and then having some smaller guys like Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb. This is a guy that I have pretty late in the draft, potentially undrafted even, but a guy that I've watched, and a guy that, and I'm going to be completely honest with you folks, this is a guy that Ethan brought up to me while reading his draft magazine on the way to Alabama on our vacation, which, by the way, my 11-year-old reads draft magazines, so that's freaking awesome. I don't know why or anything like that, but so he seriously, kid's awesome. But Braxton Berrios from the University of Miami, he is your Danny Amendola, your Julian Edelman type guy. And I think this is where I struggle a bit, is we do have like a Ty Montgomery and we do have Cobb, but the Braxton Berrios would be, to me, I guess, the Kiki. He's my Kiki. Okay. Definitely probably not as fast as Kiki, because I will give you the fact that Kiki does have that crazy speed. He's a smaller guy. He's only 5'10", 180, so there's that factor of getting hurt, but extremely like Edelman. Super, super smart guy. Academic Heisman, hard worker. Knows his limitations. He's very built. He's built very well for only being 5'10", and about 180. He just makes big plays. He's not a guy that I would expect to come in and get 150 yards a game or, anything like that. But he would be your safety net, kind of guy for Rodgers, a guy that kind of sticks within a small area and makes himself available for those short yardage plays or for those, you know, disaster plays that need to just get fixed. But also has the ability to, once that defense suckers up to him, to break out if he needs to, just because he does have that little laser quick speed. Here's my thing that stood out the most when I was watching him is, especially in his senior season, 9 touchdowns, 600 yards, but he had 51 receptions, all those stats against teams like Florida State, Wisconsin, Clemson, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, and others. And like, that's impressive. That's legit competition, and he's out there killing it. And that, to me, that's a huge deal. I shouldn't say it's a huge deal in the sense that I always look at that, because I don't think necessarily competition is a crucial factor in all the things. But in this circumstance,
it's part of the puzzle, though.
It's a part of it. I mean, I don't make it the deciding factor, but it's definitely part of it. I think that's huge. He made big plays in big games, and to me, it just follows kind of, and I'm not saying I want to follow, but it has that New England feel. Because when you look at New England, okay, and what their receiving core is, it's a lot of those Amendolas, Edelmans, James White, even these guys that can kind of run in the backfield, go to the slot, even line up outside, can kind of come back, do reverse, all that kind of stuff. Braxton Berrios is my Kiki. And I think that he would be someone that you get late, you get very late, potentially even undrafted, who could kind of come in and make some moves and make some marks, and would be, to me, a guy that he's one of the guys that I will keep an eye on, and that I will probably crack a little smile if I see him get drafted, even if it's not with the Packers. But, you know, just one of those guys you're like, all right, you know, you got it, now go do it. So he is my last jock, Braxton Berrios, University of Miami.
I can respect that. I'm not going to lie, I don't know a lot about him.
Not many people do. He's my sneaker.
Yeah, and, you know, it's good to have those guys, and good on you for finding them. I mean, if he ends up being a diamond in the rough, you'll be one of the people to say, well, Ethan will be one of the people to say, I told you so.
It's the start of the next generation. I'm getting him going.
When are we going to get him on? We should have.
If Braxton Berrios gets drafted,
he's coming on.
Let's have him come on for like 5 minutes.
Perfect.
Deal. I'll let him know. He'll think he's so cool.
My last jock for wide receivers, Deion Kane from Clemson. You know, he's one of those guys, kind of rough around the edges. He's got a little bit of a history, failed a drug test early in his college career, but since he's been pretty clean. Has decent size, he's 6'2", he can run, runs a 4.4. The thing about his speed is it looks effortless. He runs a 4.4, but when he's running, it doesn't look like he's even trying hard. It's a smooth run, and I think that's fun to watch. I mean, I know watching guys run is a little bit weird, and maybe kind of creepy, but you know what I mean? Like, yeah, when you see somebody running and they have good running form and it just looks smooth.
Yeah. There's people have to understand that everyone runs so different, and you don't notice it until you watch film for hours on end. And then you start to realize these things, but I agree. I've struggled with wanting to put him in. Even with my article for Pack to the Future, which go check out packtothefuture.com. That's our home base. Cause he's kind of in that same Simi Cobbs, Equanimous Brown type, but he's got that baggage. And so you're not quite sure, but when it comes to running, he's got that graceful, like, just stride, I don't even know how to describe it.
It looks effortless. It looks like he's being a lazy runner, and then you realize that he's just going right past him.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's just like a super long stride or what it is, but it's funny because probably about 5-10 years ago, I was talking to Nick Groppengeiser, his mom, And she was a teacher when my dad played football. And she said that he was the most fun person she ever watched play football. And she would say that when he ran, it looked effortlessly, and that he like galloped. It was almost like an elk or something. Like it was just a beautiful running motion. And
they look like they're moving in slow motion, but yeah, then you realize
they're flying by people.
Yeah, moving across the ground really
and
fast. It's
super. And so ever since she's told me that, I've been, you know, secretly like looking for that guy. And I've noticed there are certain guys in the league that are like that. Deion Kane is for sure one of those guys where you're looking at it and you're watching film and you're like, well, is he going to speed up? And right. Then what's next thing you know, he's 4 yards in front of the corner or behind the corner. You're like, damn, what just happened?
Right.
And you see the corner like sweating and breathing and dying to try to catch up to him. And Deion's just like out for a morning jog. And I could not agree with you more. He definitely has that. But he does scare me a little bit with that baggage.
Well, you know, he's been clean. And you know what? If marijuana and failing a drug test for marijuana is the worst thing, and I'm not advocating that. I'm not saying it's a good thing.
Join the club. It's a super relevant in the NFL. And I know I understand that it's the law and everything like that. But I think if we start hating on people for smoking weed in the NFL, there's not going to be a whole lot of players that we like anymore.
Right.
It's just the truth of the NFL.
Yep. Well, and another thing I really liked about him that, you know, when I was watching film, I was trying to put a note down to say what is his go-to? What's his niche going to be? And is he going to be a deep threat guy? Is he going to be that intermediate guy? Is he going to be that possession screen type guy? He does it all well.
Yeah.
He's not super great at anything, but he's a threat at every level. He has the ability to get deep and burn you deep. He has the ability to run routes and beat you on the intermediates. And he can catch the ball in the backfield and make you miss. He's not, I don't know if, even if I can say he's not, he's got great attributes and he's really good at stuff, but he's just good at it all.
Yeah. I think that if you can get Deion Kane and get him to come into your team and fully buy into it and commit 100%. And I'm not saying that he's not a committed guy, but I think if you can get him at his best and really pull something out of him, you're going to get a steal. I do think that he'll drop because of his little bit of issue. And so I think you're going to get a serious high value if he brings it.
I think he's one of the last guys in that second clump of wide receivers.
For sure.
And I think that puts him in a third round.
Yep.
Either whether it's the middle of the third or late in the third. And I think that would be a really good value. I mean, let's not forget, people, that we are talking about these players as hypotheticals. And this is a guy that I like. I don't necessarily think he's going to end up being a Packer. Wherever he goes, I think he's going to be impactful. I don't know that he'll be a flat superstar with anybody, but he's going to be one of those impactful guys like a Mohamed Sanu or who's like another a second wide. He'll be one of the best number twos in the league.
Well, I think he's kind of like a Crabtree kind of thing where he's never going to be like the
superstar. Golden Tate.
He might think he is or something, but he's not really.
Right. Like a Golden Tate.
Golden Tate's a good one. Yeah, for sure. I think that's, he's a good one.
Who else? I mean, we say that the wide receiver class isn't that deep as far as talent goes, but there's a number of guys that everybody likes.
I think there's a lot of names. Just because, like I said before, I think the wide receivers and corners and things like that are just so prevalent in the draft and people wanting them.
Well, like you said, it's a passing league.
It is. And that's why you see so many teams going after receivers and so many teams going after corners, because you need at least three legit corners. And a lot of times it's going to be difficult to start spreading the salary cap between all these people, but that's where coming in and getting guys in the draft is so important. Other receiver, I mean, Calvin Ridley's up there. I know he started off the year kind of as a top 5 or 10 pick, and it seemed to have kind of dropped a little bit. Cortland Sutton out of SMU. I love Cortland Sutton.
Do you know that Ridley's like 27 already? He's old. Well, that would... he's old. He's like the same age as Randall Cobb.
Oh, well, then I don't want him. That would be a really good reason not to take him.
That's my biggest downfall on a guy.
Yeah. I know another guy that a lot of people are on, and some people even talked about him a little bit on our Facebook post, was DJ Shark from LSU. It's just a 40 time, guys. it's just a 40 time. I'm sorry. I struggle a lot with the 40. And it's so, like I said, I spent my whole life, like I would get magazines, the draft magazines when I was a little kid and even in college and stuff. And like, that's what I looked at because I had lived in a Madden based world where speed was important and that's all that mattered. Al Davis, like, and as much as I do think the 40 has a relevance to it, I don't think it's what you base a draft pick on. Just because running a straight line in shorts and stuff or tights is just not the same. I mean, I if you put me out right now and told me to run a 40, I'd probably run, I don't know, a very slow one.
Let me just say this.
If you put me in pads on a field and you got a 270-pound guy chasing me down, I'm going to run pretty damn fast. I'll figure it out. I'm not going to run as fast if you're like, here, run a straight line. Like, yeah, the track stars are going to look good. Jair Alexander's going to look good. DJ Shark's going to look good. These are all track type guys. That's not necessarily going to transition into the NFL. And if you look, one more thing, if you look at the top 10 fastest 40 times in the last however many years, honestly, there's like one name that you even recognize, or no, two names.
Chris Johnson and who else?
Chris Johnson, and he's the most successful.
Right.
Darius Hayward-Bey is the only other person of honest name that you're like, oh, yeah, I know who that. I've heard that name.
Yeah, and the only reason why you remember Darius Hayward-Bey is because he's got three names.
Yeah, and because Al Davis was stupid and traded up for him. But that's like my point is that there's all these 40-time guys, and you're like, oh, yeah, man, and you get so jacked up about it because he ran a straight line. Well, that's it. And I'm not saying that I don't want to cross these guys off and say that they're not going to be good because Shark could be very good. But here's it's funny how that guy was a third, fourth round guy and he ran a good 40. And now he's a first round guy.
Well, let me put something in
better. Did his route running get better? No, he just ran a straight line speed.
Let me put something in perspective for you.
Okay.
Do you have his stats up right now?
No, but I can get him.
Bring him up quick. And then remind yourself that Malachi Dupree was the number one receiver last year, the season before last, with Shark on a team. Malachi Dupree, what's he doing? And what round did he get picked in?
Yeah.
And how many catches did he have? And how great of an NFL career is he going to have?
Yeah. Now I hear you. DJ Shark, just this last year, 800 yards, 3 touchdowns. The year before, which would have been with Malachi, only 400 yards, 3 touchdowns. Same numbers, pretty much.
And Malachi Dupree is how good in the NFL?
Exactly.
I rest my case. I mean, yeah, I saw everybody on the sweep, and I appreciate the fact that they go on there and they tell me.
Yes, please keep doing that, people.
But it's not. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of him. I don't think history is on his side. I don't think that the fact that Malachi Dupree was better than him a year ago and Malachi Dupree couldn't make the cut.
Yeah, I agree. All right, so that's offensive line and wide receivers. I think we're good there. Both positions that I think are definitely going to be addressed in the draft, and I think probably in the first half of the draft.
I would think that between offensive line and wide receiver, there's probably at least 4 draft picks taken in those positions.
All right. I agree. We are going to be recording again early next week, Tuesday, where we will be covering tight ends and edge rushers. So make sure that you guys check us out for that. Obviously, edge rusher is going to be an intense topic. That is what everyone wants. It's what everyone thinks we need. And I'm not saying we don't need it. I'm just saying that's what they think. So we will go through that. That will be fun. I'll be interested to kind of hear where you're at and kind of see where we're at with our jocks on that too. I think we all kind of know the big names, but to find some guys that maybe you don't know much about, or a little bit smaller school guys, that'd be fun to kind of keep an eye on. So that's coming up on Tuesday. And then Wednesday, we have a special guest coming in, Glenn Derby, former Badger, Packer, Saints offensive lineman who battled through some addiction stuff and changed his life. He's now a power coach and an offensive line coach for Arrowhead High School. He will be joining to kind of talk about his journey. Something a little bit different than we've done before in this week, but I think it's an awesome story, and I'm excited to share it, kind of close, near, and dear to my heart, kind of things that I've gone through. So it'll be a little different, a little bit more of a listen. Hopefully you guys can tune in and listen to that. But outside of that, we're going to be just blasting you guys with draft stuff, different types of names. Please keep sending names in. Send in your tight ends or edge rushers that you guys like. We will definitely check them out, shout them out to you guys if we can. And it's going to be a crazy couple weeks here until the draft. But make sure you guys follow us on the Sweep on Facebook. Go up there and type in the Sweep. Check us out on Twitter at the Sweep _PTTF. And also at packtothefuture.com. That's our home base. Tons of scouting reports, things like that going on. So there's plenty of news for you guys to check out. Make sure you guys do listen to us, though. Because we will give you the information that you have not already seen 9,000 times on ESPN. It's a little bit different, and I think that's where we can kind of take the game on
you
it.
You know what I think is good about our list today, and I didn't know who you were going to talk about before today, and I kind of like it that way. I kind of probably took you by surprise and sent you my stuff.
You did.
I don't know if you don't want that, but anyway, I think that we don't focus on just the first and second round. I know a lot of the wide receivers are going to probably go are in that second, third round range, but we have some undrafted guys on our list. We have some guys that could go in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. Those are the guys that we're not going to hear about on ESPN.
Yeah.
We're going to hear about the top, 65 guys in the draft on a regular basis, and they're going to beat it into your head, and they're going to tell you how great everybody is. And then on draft day, when we don't pick one of those guys that you heard about, you're going to be pissed.
Yep.
Trust me, I know I used to be that way. It's the reason I started to do this. It's the reason I fell in love with it, because I don't have to watch. I can do it on my own. And so can everybody else. So if you do enjoy, the stuff that you see on ESPN or you hear from us, go. If you got an extra hour or a half hour, even 15 minutes in between whatever you got going on, go look at some guys.
Yeah.
Go on a list of eligible draft players. Pick a name. Pick a school. And pick some people and go watch some of their film or read up about what they were good at, what they think they need to work on, their weaknesses, stuff like that. Find out about these guys. That makes the draft process that much more enjoyable. And when you watch the draft, like if you watch the draft like Fred and I do, where you watch every pick, and you're interested in who everybody's taken, when you see a guy taken in the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth round, you might have an idea of who they are. You might have an idea of what team they're going to get picked to. If they get picked to a team that you don't like, you'll follow them for a long time. There's guys in the NFL that I follow that have nothing to do with Green Bay, and it's because of the draft process.
And if anything, you might find a really good fantasy guy.
Yeah.
When my most successful in fantasy football was when I would always take a lot of rookies because I had the upper hand, if you will, just because I had scouted these guys so well and I knew what they would fit in. And when I would find a guy that went to a team and it seemed like the perfect fit, I would take him in fantasy, and I would usually succeed in a lot of the rookie deals, running backs and receivers especially. But it's a great, great thing to do. It's fun. You learn a little bit more about the guys than just their 40 time and their vertical. And that's something too that I kind of like, because you know what, when it all comes down to it, they're all humans and they're all people too. And they have really cool stories. Some of them have really, really great stories. Michael Gallup, for instance, going through community college, just missing out on some of the bigger name schools and to build himself back up. And now he has an opportunity to go to the NFL, is an exciting story. And you start to you kind of have relationships with these people in a weird, small way. And that's cool. Like I said earlier, you know, with Braxton, you probably will with Kiki, Gallup, things like that. We'll notice when we see their name. And if it's not with Green Bay, you'll kind of give a little smile and hope the best for them. And when you watch them on ESPN catching a game-winning touchdown, you can look at your friend and say, told you. And that's a cool feeling. I know for us on our podcast, there's no better feeling for me to then be able to tell Blaine that I was right. So that's
a fun thing. And vice versa. I think that's one of the reasons why we do – like we don't want credit, but we want to validate the fact that we're as good of fans as we think we are.
Yes. And that's you know, for instance, I will be coming out with my 7-round mock draft a little bit before the draft, and you know, people have asked me about it and when it's coming out, and that's incredible. That's like my favorite thing in the entire world, that people actually value what I might think on certain players or where they're at. And then
I'm excited.
No better.
As much as I might critique it and not agree with it, sure. I'm excited. You want to know why? Because it opens up my doors to somebody else's perspective. Yeah. And that's what this is all about, is not telling somebody that they're wrong. But when you disagree, being okay that you disagree and understanding where they're coming from. Because we've said it, I don't know, 100 times already on this podcast. The draft is the most unknown thing in the NFL next to injury.
Sure is.
We cannot predict the future. We can't. We just can't do it.
But I'm going to try my best.
Right. And you know what? 1 out of 10 we might hit on. Last year, I really liked Josh Jones. Green Bay ended up picking him. I felt awesome about that. He didn't live up to the hype that I put on him. I own that. But I still think he's got the potential, and I'm going to follow it. I'm going to hope. And when he makes a Pro Bowl, I'm going to tell Fred I told you so. Because that's the fun part about the whole process.
That's what it is. But make sure you guys follow us. Please follow us on Facebook. Please get involved. Check us out on the Sweep. Like I said, tons of draft stuff coming up. Glenn Derby on Wednesday. It's going to be a fun couple weeks. We'll do some live videos on Facebook as well right before the draft. Just stay tuned. Make sure you guys like us. Make sure you guys go on iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review. We love hearing it. We love knowing that you guys are listening. And any final thoughts there, Blaine?
Yeah, go out and take a look and discuss it with us. Get involved with us. I think that I would like to, and I know Fred would too. We want to create opportunities for you guys to get involved with us. So the more involvement we start getting on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that, it's not out of the realm of possibilities to start getting some people on here. If they can convince us that they have something valuable to add, which would be the ultimate goal for us, is to add value to our podcast with the people that listen.
For sure. We are about our area and our community. And yeah, we'd love to hear what you guys have. Come at us with some different name. Tell you what, if you guys throw out a name on our Sweep Facebook page and we end up taking that guy beyond the first or second round, we'll even give you the second round, someone in the third, fourth, fifth, something different, we will hook you guys up with a prize from Pride and Glory. So give us some names. Give us some names of guys that you think that we might take in the latter rounds, and if you guys nail it, we'll hook you up. Excited about the week, excited to get into the draft stuff a little bit more, excited to do edge rushers next week. I'm sure you're going to be very passionate about that. It's going to be good. I'm excited. Make sure you guys follow us on our social media. And as always, go Pack Go.
Pack Go, baby.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.